The Bible passage is Acts chapter 17, first 12 verses. And if you are using a pew Bible, which it doesn't look like many people are, it's page 1113. It's headed in Thessalonica. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on the three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed out to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and the others on bail and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul had said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So, Lord, I just pray for Chris as he comes to expand on that word now, Lord, and just thank you, Lord, that you've spoken through him and he's able to give us a word and to teach us a bit more about a learning fellowship. So I just pray for him now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Trevor, and thank you for attempting those rather complicated Greek town names. As Shona said, this is the third week in this series looking at our mission statement in the light of our year text. Our year text on the banner: "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth." Summary of our mission statement might be put like this: we believe that God has called us to build a loving, worshipping, learning, evangelistic and spirit-filled fellowship. So we looked at being a loving fellowship, we thought about being a worshipping fellowship, and on the table here are those reminders of the heart of worship that we brought last week, with writing one thing during the week that we would offer to God in worship. This week we're thinking about how to build a learning fellowship. Teaching and learning lie at the heart of the Christian faith. If you think about Jesus' ministry, he spent most of his ministry teaching and inviting people to learn from him. So teaching and learning are at the heart of the Christian faith. In the Great Commission, Jesus said to the disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And often we stop there because we're Baptists. So we've done the important bit, go and baptize people. But then he went on to say, "Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." So the commission was, yes, to baptize, but also to teach. So at that level, every disciple is called to teach the commands of Jesus. And that's what the apostles did. Day after day, we're told, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That's Acts 5:42. So teaching was crucial at the beginning of church history. It was the command of Jesus. As we heard in our reading this morning, it was Paul's practice. Wherever he went, he was teaching. Every letter he wrote was a letter with teaching in it. And teachers were recognized as one of the key ministries in the church that were given by Christ for the benefit of the church. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. But in the same passage, Paul makes clear not all are teachers within the church. It's a gift, it's a spiritual gift. And James warns that believers should not many of them should be teachers because they will be judged more strictly. That's James chapter 3 and verse 1. So all believers are learners, and at the level of teaching people about the commands of Jesus, all are teachers, but not all are called to be teachers within the church. All believers are learners because the biblical understanding of the word disciple is learner. You can't be a disciple and not be a learner. Not learned, past tense. Ongoing, a learner. Jesus sent learners to make learners. So at that level, all Christians are called to be learners and teachers. But that spiritual gift of teaching is a little different. It is a gift given by Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us. Jesus promised, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." That's John 14:26. So whilst there are particular individuals that have a teaching ministry, like all spiritual ministries, that ministry can only work as the Holy Spirit works in and through the person exercising that gifting. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who makes the ministry effective. In both teaching and learning, we are dependent upon the Spirit. Paul says that he spoke not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So you see how Paul was taught by the Spirit. He brought that teaching to others, and without the Spirit, there was no way they were going to recognize it as the teaching of God and understand it and bring it into their lives. I think that's one of the things that marks out the difference between when we're talking about the ministry of teaching within the church and a teacher in a school. When you're teaching in the church, it's not good enough just to have the facts and just to bring you the truth. There also has to be the Holy Spirit at work in my heart, at work in your heart, for there to be change, for there to be transformation. Otherwise, you might go out with more information, but you will not be transformed. So that's a big distinction. And that's why when we're looking for people to teach in church life, often we're looking for that ministry that's given by God, that goes beyond whether they happen to be trained as a teacher or eloquent or whatever it is, but they have that ability to communicate in the Spirit, that Spirit level, not a Spirit level, at the Spirit level. So that learning is central to the believer's life. But it's never a dry academic learning or a spiritual revelation unconnected with the rest of life. It's always teaching to be put into practice. Paul wrote, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." And that putting it into practice is key in learning and not just teaching. James wrote in his letter, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And then he gives this illustration. "Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." James 1:22-25. It seems a ridiculous thing, doesn't it, to look in the mirror and then forget what you look like. But actually, isn't it a ridiculous thing to come to church or to do your Bible study during the week to see what the Bible shows you of yourself and what it shows you of God, then immediately forget it and go off and do something contrary to what God's just been saying to you? So putting into practice what we learn is crucial. Thinking about our year text, with regards to learning, we might say, "Dear children, let us not learn with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." It works, doesn't it, in the same way that we might say worship or love. Unless it's put into action, we might know something, but we're not actually living it out and learnt it. It's relatively easy to build a teaching fellowship, put on lots of courses, preach Bible-based sermons, run Sunday schools, run Bible study groups. It's much harder to build a learning fellowship. Yet what we aspire to be is a learning fellowship, not just a teaching fellowship. I can confirm to you that it is very difficult to teach someone who does not want to be taught. I was brought up in South Wales. An Englishman brought up in South Wales. They taught me Welsh for about 5 years. But I didn't want to learn Welsh. I regret that now. I wish that I had learned some Welsh. I think it would have been very helpful, and I respect the language and the people that use that as their heart tongue language. But for me, it was a sign of my identity to refuse to learn it. I can count to about 5. I couldn't resist learning at least that. I can say good morning and good night. That's it. 5 years. I don't blame the teachers. If you have no interest, and if you set your mind against learning, however good the teacher, it's very difficult to teach someone. There's a teacher in the congregation shaking their head. Indeed, it is very difficult. So we want to be a learning fellowship. So let's keep in mind the meaning of that word, fellowship. Remember that it can also be translated partnership, sharing, stewardship. It's love in action. In the Christian community, that gift of teaching always goes hand in hand with shepherding, caring for the flock. In fact, lack of love is one of the key indicators of false teaching. You need to go hand in hand, pastor, teacher. So with regards to learning, we're seeking to build a community of learners, to be partners in learning. For those with the gift of teaching, to teach, for all of us to put into practice what we're taught by the Spirit. And that's an important distinction. I don't tell you to go and do what I tell you. I tell you to search the scriptures and see whether I'm telling you the truth. And if I am, then do what God has told you. Occasionally people say to me, you keep telling me that I have to love people. And I correct them and say, actually, it's not me that's telling you that. It's Jesus that's telling you that. It's difficult, but this is what Jesus teaches. So we want to be this community who learn together. In our reading, we heard that contrast between Paul's impact in Thessalonica and Berea. I think Paul probably taught the same things in both places. But the Berean Jews were of more noble character, we're told, than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now just think about the reality of that in Berea. They didn't have smartphones with the Bible on. They didn't have their three copies of different versions at home. They had the Torah scrolls in the synagogue. If they were checking the scriptures, searching the scriptures every day to see whether what Paul was teaching was true, that was a communal activity. It wasn't individuals going away and thinking about it. It was people coming together and saying, get that scroll out. Now roll it along till we get to Isaiah 55. What does it say? Oh, look, this is what it says here. Let me read it to you, because you can't read, so I'll read it to you. There's a community of learning. There's a fellowship of learning. So I think part of the nobility was that they were encouraging one another to, come on, let's go back and see whether that is what it says. And if it is, then let's live it out. When Paul wrote to Timothy, the young man of God seeking to lead a church, he said this: continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's that key process, isn't there, of learning something, but being convinced of it. Timothy became convinced of these things by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that convicts us and brings us to change of behaviour. We might see what we should be, but until the Spirit touches our heart, we're not able to change. And for Timothy, he'd been through that process, and he knew who he'd learned it from. You know, again, thinking about false teaching and true teaching, there's that walking with those that you see their life, you see how they live out what they're teaching, and you decide from your own searching of scriptures whether this is trustworthy teaching or not. So right at the heart of this is the God-breathed teaching. And did you see there's that connection, isn't there? The Holy Spirit is the one that's at work in our hearts, opening our hearts and minds to receive the teaching of God. The Spirit-filled teacher bringing the Spirit-filled words to you. You hearing that in your spirit. But the scriptures themselves are God-breathed. The same word, pneuma. The breath of God, the Spirit of God. So that the scriptures are full of the Spirit. So the Spirit's at work at all levels of teaching and learning in spiritual things. So these then are the signs of a learning fellowship. We will receive the message with great eagerness. Here's my picture for eagerness. I can tell you it's not quite like that looking out here today, but you know, it might be a little bit scary if you're all quite that eager. But there is a heart eagerness that's important in learning and being a learning fellowship. Second, we're told to examine the scriptures every day to see if what is being taught is true. So maybe that's thinking through what's said on a Sunday. Maybe it's thinking through what you've heard online or in your daily devotionals and just thinking about whether that is true by looking at the scriptures. And by doing that, we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit speaking through the Holy Scriptures. The Spirit imbibed Word of God, filled with the Spirit, that is then open to us so that we can see the Spirit in it. As we do that, the Holy Spirit, we're told, will equip us for every good work. We want that, don't we? We want to be equipped for every good work. And this is what the Spirit does as we are eager. We search the scriptures and then open ourselves by doing that to his being at work in us. So that brings us back to that word devoted from Acts 2:42 that Shona mentioned earlier. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, we're told. Literally, that means they continued steadfastly. They went on giving it full attention. They spent their time learning what it meant. Then they committed themselves to doing it. That word translated devoted means to continue doing something with intense effort despite difficulty. To continue doing something with intense effort despite difficulty. In English, that concept of devotion has a link with love, doesn't it? You tend to think of someone being devoted to somebody in love. And I think there's a hint of that in the scriptures as well. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching because they loved Jesus and they loved the apostles. It was love that was at the heart of their devotion, not duty or a sense of legalism, but love. So they put this effort in, continuing steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles because they love Jesus and they love the apostles. So how can we build a learning fellowship? The most important way that we can build a learning fellowship is to be devoted to learning ourselves. Because as we devote ourselves, then we encourage and strengthen that learning in others, particularly when we're putting it into practice. So here's some questions for you. I'm not going to ask you to answer out loud, but I do ask you to check your hearts. Are you eager or apathetic about learning? Are you remembering or forgetting? You might like to ask yourself, what was the message last week? What was my devotion that I read yesterday? Are you remembering or forgetting? Are you searching or passive? If God brings me a sign, then fine. If I go to church and Chris says some interesting things, well, great. But otherwise, I'm not out there trying to find out what God's saying, trying to understand what it might mean for my life this week to equip me for the good work that God's calling me to. Are you seeking the Spirit or human wisdom? Again, we can come wanting to be dazzled by somebody's intelligence or their eloquence. Or we can come open to God speaking to us through whoever, in the coffee time, at the welcome at the front door, whatever it might be. Are we doing what God says, or are we merely listening to what's being said? Very easy to just listen, just to read your daily reading and then close the book and carry on exactly as we were before. So these are the challenges, and I admit that they're difficult challenges, you know, because learning is something we need to put effort into through difficulty. But being disciple is about continuing to learn. So here's my question to you in response this week. In the light of what I've said, what are you going to do this week to ensure that you learn something? Not just that you've listened, but that you learn something. Maybe those questions might help you to answer that for yourself. Let's just take a moment to reflect on that before we close in a prayer and hand you back to Jim. Lord, we pray, come Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to be transformed, that we might do what you teach us. I especially pray, Lord, for any who have come to put their faith in you today, who've chosen to follow you as Lord. I pray that they will become lifelong learners of you, learning what it is to know you and to love you and to love others because of you. I pray for those that are already following you, Lord, that perhaps where it's got difficult and hard work have lapsed into apathy. We pray, Lord, stir us up in our spirit as your spirit sets our hearts on fire once again. Give us a hunger to learn more about you and how we can please you. Lord, stir up parents to encourage their children to come and learn about you. And help us, Lord, to encourage and strengthen one another as we search the scriptures and are convinced by what you are saying to us. We pray these things, Lord, for your glory and that you might build a learning community here in Burwell. Amen.